to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of That Movie Show. Mike Wendt, Liam Stryker.
Hi, Mike.
Bill Neville is once again on assignment.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of assignments.
I don't know what he's doing.
Who is paying him?
I don't know. I'm going to have to check in with
Certainly not us.
I'm going to have to check in with accounting.
But today we are doing a very special movie, I know, to you, well as to me, as well as pretty much the film viewing world.
Yes.
We are covering 1939's The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Heralded as, I believe, when AFI did their list, was it number two or three?
I think it's two.
Okay, because I knew it was like Citizen Kane, The Godfather, and Wizard of Oz were the top three.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew Citizen Kane was number one.
Right.
I just didn't know which two and three came in. But either way, top three all time.
Right. And on that same list for villains, The Wicked Witch of the West beat out Darth Vader.
That's shocking.
And so she's number one.
So she beat out Biff Tannen as well.
She also beat out Biff Tannen.
Equally shocking.
Although I'm pretty sure if we did it again in 2018.
Right.
Based on political comparisons, they might reorder that.
With Biff Tannen coming Tannen in number one?
Yeah.
I mean there, he did try to rape people multiple times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was the 50s, different era. And we're talking about Wizard of Oz, not Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Let's do the business. It was released August 25th, 1939. Had a budget of $2.8 million. Was not a success at the box office.
No. Also, if you're doing math, that means that this is the 80th anniversary.
It is. It is the 80th anniversary. And next weekend, I believe the 27th, 8th, and 9th.
Correct.
Fathom Events is putting Wizard of Oz back into theaters. So it's nationwide.
Yep.
So go to fathomevents.com, find a theater near you, and watch this wonderful movie. You will not regret it. One of the best things I do is find these classics on Fathom Events.
Right.
And because especially movies like this that I wasn't able to see in the theater.
No.
Movies like Jaws, movies, shocking, you know, early 80s movies you weren't able to see because I was, you know, a kid and you weren't born and that whole thing.
That's right.
70s, 80s, it was such a cool website, especially when they do these anniversary ones. But it also, like I said, it wasn't a box office smash.
No.
Only made $3 million on its initial release, so it barely broke even.
Right.
And there are reasons behind it, but we'll get to that in a minute. Upon unadjusted re-releases, it's come back with $23.3 million. Obviously, it's a classic. Obviously, anytime they do anything with it, whether it's a re-release on Blu-ray or DVD, it makes money.
You're right.
The Wizard of Oz has made some money.
Yeah,
I think they've made back the $2 million.
Yeah. I'd hope so.
It was written by Noel Langley, Florence Ryerson, Edgar Allan Wolfe. It was based on the wonderful Wizard of Oz books by L. Frank Baum. And it was directed by Victor Fleming has always gotten the credit, but there was actually five directors on this. Victor Fleming obviously has always been credited as the director. George Cukor, Mervyn LeRoy, who was actually the producer,
yep.
Norman Turog, and King Vidor were the five. And most of it had to do with also the same timing they were filming Gone with the Wind.
Okay, yeah.
So Victor Fleming left production to go start production on Gone with the Wind. It was a very weird, the whole studio system back in the 30s was very weird, how there was like, they owned actors and actresses. They owned directors. And it was a lot of this was like, you hear that now and you're like, my God, he just left The Wizard of Oz to go do another movie. This was common.
Right, because the way you got to think about it, during that time, you were contracted to Universal. You were contracted to Warner Brothers.
Right.
You were contracted to these studios. So it was basically like, if you're working in an office job now, you're on a project, and then the project is far along that you don't need to finish it.
They need you to start something else.
But they need you to start something else.
Right.
So they pull you off of that project to go start this other thing, and then have so-and-so just kind of take over, because you're kind of like on this roster.
Right.
And it's whoever's schedule is kind of open at the time.
Which is also at the cast I was just about to mention. It's obviously starring Judy Garland, Frank Morgan, Ray Bulger, Burt Lear, Jack Haley, Billy Burke, Margaret Hamilton, and Charlie Gapewin. The original star that they wanted was Shirley Temple.
Right.
She was contracted to one of the other studios, whether it was Warner or Fox or whatever. And there was a whole, like, it was almost like sports, where they were trading actors. It's like, okay, well, we'll loan you Clark Gable and somebody else if we can use Shirley Temple. In the end, Shirley Temple, the reason they went with Judy Garland and the reason the producer was so dead set on Judy Garland was the singing.
Right.
She had more of that operatic voice, and Shirley Temple didn't. But it was weird because I was watching one of the documentaries on the Blu-ray, and seeing just it was bizarre. It was a bizarre time.
It is.
The Hollywood studio system was a bizarre time, seeing Shirley Temple as a 10-year-old girl talking as if she's like a full-grown 40-year-old woman, like commanding that audience, being, you know, just being like, it's great to be back here in New York, my home. And it's like,
yeah.
And because you think, like, what the fuck was I doing at 10 years old?
Right.
It wasn't that.
Well, it's nuts because they had schoolhouses. Famously, the Little Red Schoolhouse on MGM was these kids would go to school during part of the day,
yep,
and then go film these movies. So they were getting like acting training and like professional training,
right,
alongside their schooling, because
they were virtually bought at birth.
Basically,
I mean, Judy Garland has said that her first acting job, she was, I think, 30 months old is what she was said in an interview. And it's like, and she just started from there. She was 16 when she made Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
She worked a handful of hours per day and then had to do like 3 hours of school for each day.
Yeah.
Which I can only imagine on a movie like this was really, really just tiresome and difficult.
And this is before unions and everything. And currently the union laws, because I went through this as a child, you can only work 8 hours.
Now.
That is it. Yeah. Now. So, you know, who knows what that was back then, but that's, you know, it's based on that idea where it's like you go to work and then you go to school.
Right. It was, it's just, and she was supposed to be, this is something I didn't realize because it's really something you never think about watching the movie, but she was supposed to be playing a much younger girl.
Right, because if you look at the movie that Disney makes later, The Return to Wizard of Oz.
With Fairuza Balk.
Yes. That girl is far closer to the age, and she's somewhere around like 12.
In that movie.
And so, yeah, Judy Garland is obviously older.
She was 16.
Right.
But it was one of the things I kept reading on every website about any type of trivia. The first thing was always they basically fitted her with like this corset thing to strap her breasts down to make her more adolescent looking.
Right.
She was still 16 years old, but it's like, how?
Yeah.
She must have been trying to, they must have been passing her off as 9?
Yeah. I was going to say somewhere between 9 to 13.
Jesus Christ. Weird. Just weird. Because it's really not implied.
Right.
I guess if you know the books, it must be implied there,
yeah,
which is why they were so adamant to do it. And a lot of the casting wasn't, and we were just talking about this off air, it wasn't the greatest of production shoots.
No.
You read some of these facts and you listen to some of these interviews, sounded very torturous.
Well, the other thing, too, is Margaret Hamilton gets third-degree burns on her hands and arms.
Face.
And face.
And face.
You know what I mean?
The makeup she was using had basically copper based in it.
Yeah.
And the scene in which she's leaving she's leaving Munchkin Land.
Yep. The famous scene that they recreated at the Great Movie, right?
Exactly. So basically, the smoke starts, the trap door behind the smoke opens. She starts going down, and she was still shoulders above street level, and the pyro guy hit the fire.
Yeah.
And the hat singed, and she went down, and the makeup was so thick, she actually didn't know she was on fire at that point.
Yeah, right.
Like it wasn't that she was on fire. The hat was, obviously. But the makeup was, because it was copper-based, heated up so much, it was almost just like melting into her face.
Right.
And her hands. And they had to do it a couple times.
Yeah.
And it was what it was. You can still, especially now, if you know it's happening and you're watching like the Blu-ray, which is extremely crystal clear.
Yeah.
You can actually kind of see the trap door opening up and stuff. Noticing practical effects are now, having seen the movie umpteen times.
Right.
It's almost kind of cool now. It's not like, oh, it's ruining the magic by seeing it. It's like, no, because 99% of the people don't see that shit.
Right, no.
We see it because we're kind of looking for it.
Well, you've also seen the movie a million times. So.
And once you hear, oh, there was a trapdoor apparatus, it's almost like trying to see the magic trick behind the magic.
Yeah, right,
Buddy Epson was the original Tin Man.
Yep.
Couldn't be the Tin Man because there was some kind of the dust they were using to make up his face was metallic based.
Yep.
I think it was silver or something. Like, it was an actual metal.
Yeah. Aluminum.
Aluminum, something like that. But anyway, so they have to, of course, if, you know, you do multiple takes, they're powdering his face probably 47 times.
Right.
That stuff's getting into the air. He's breathing it. On the interview on one of the Blu-rays, he said he basically instantly got emphysema.
Yeah.
It was the equivalent of that because his lungs were coated with that metal dust.
Yeah.
To the point that he would try to take a breath and it was like he wasn't breathing.
Right.
So he was rushed to a hospital and immediately replaced with Jack Haley. Which, fun fact about Jack Haley, his son Jack Haley Jr. was one of Liza Minnelli's husbands.
Oh, fun.
Liza Minnelli, of course, daughter of Judy Garland.
Yes.
So there was that fun connection. But yeah, just a lot of... Nowadays, we would call extremely unsafe work environment.
Yeah, right.
The lion costume was made out of real lion pelt.
Oh.
It weighed over 100 pounds.
Yep.
And because of the Technicolor filming process they were doing, they needed extra and bigger lights,
yep,
which heated up the set to over 100 degrees. So there was two people on set that their only job was overnight drying out the lion costume that
was
caked
sweating.
In sweat.
Yeah.
They said occasionally they would send it to dry cleaning, but the consensus was it stunk to high hell.
Oh, of course. Of course, that's those lights. If you're working in those type of lights, now everything nowadays is very much LED based.
Sure,
but if you see big giant studio production lights, those things are so hot that there are certain ways you have to handle those lights because
you'll burn yourself.
You'll burn yourself,
right?
Like if you touch it, like it happens all the time when you know mostly on breakdowns,
right?
But people will turn off a light and then go to touch it
because we're so used to. Lights.
Right.
We're so used to LEDs where it's just you turn it off and there's no heat attached to it.
But those lights are so hot. The sets are super hot.
You need that cool down process.
They're also in Los Angeles.
Which isn't cold.
Which isn't cold.
Right. Funny about that, the only shot in the movie that was not done on a stage, that was a quote unquote location shot, was the clouds over the opening credits.
Yeah, okay.
That's the only part of this movie that was not done on a set. I'm trying to think before we just jump right into the movie I'm sure we'll find stuff as we go along.
So I'll tell my little story.
Go right ahead.
So, for those of you who kind of follow this show and kind of follow the New Age Insiders in general, everybody knows that I do a lot of production based things. I'm a director of photography. I'm a producer and director.
Sure.
And I do all sorts of fun stuff like that. Started out as an actor,
mm-hmm,
way back when. And the reason why everybody kind of has, and I always like to talk about it, that movie or television show that they saw and was like, oh, I want to do that.
Right.
Right? Everybody kind of has that origin story movie, and that's, for me, is The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Obviously, it's very early on in the film, and we're going to get to it in minutes, but when the movie switches from black and white to color, that hit me in such a way that I just was like, oh my God, this is amazing, and since then have always wanted to elicit that same reaction in a viewing audience that elicited in me.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that wasn't the easiest thing to pull off.
No, not at all. Because that shot today with Premiere,
mm-hmm,
I'd be able to do that in 30 seconds.
Sure.
Mask out the door, drop the opacity, you know.
The way they did it was it was filmed in color.
Yep.
But because when she's opening the house door after the tornado, we're still in, most people would say, black and white. The original was actually sepia tones.
Yes.
Which, luckily, they redid that for the Blu-ray. So it's weird because there's still times you'll see it on TV and it's pure black and white.
Right.
As opposed to the original sepia tones. But what they did was they filmed it in color. So that side, the interior of the house, was painted sepia.
Yep.
There was a body double for Judy Garland wearing a copy of the dress painted sepia.
Yep.
And the second they opened that door, she steps off camera, hands Toto to Judy Garland, and Judy Garland steps out into the color with the full thing. So it was wild that they actually, because now, like you said, we would digitally do that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd film it as is and
take
then just
20 minutes
and digitally turn the color off.
Yeah.
And And yeah, 20 minutes. But they had to fully paint that interior of the house, paint the dress, paint, you know, make up a person just to achieve that effect. But yeah, and I don't think you were alone in your feelings about that, mostly because up until, I believe, 1998 or 1988, one of the two, the trailer for the movie featured no shots of Kansas in black and white.
Right.
So it was always an in-color movie. So there was a lot of people, the first time they saw it, that were, to say mildly confused would be an understatement.
Right.
Some people, because the first time some people watched it was on the big television broadcasts. Because in the when it was broadcast on TV back then, there was four channels.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't like now where TBS will run Wizard of Oz for 3 days straight every 2 hours.
It was a TV event.
It was, because they showed it once a year. And it wasn't like you had VCRs. It wasn't like the DVRs weren't even thought of back then. There was no rewinding. There was no pausing. A similar story to The Godfather, when they first ran that on television, the New York water system said they had so many problems because everyone went to the bathroom at the same time, because everyone was watching it. And when it went to commercial, everyone ran to the bathroom. So all the toilets flushing. But it was like that, because they built it as a once a year event. And I believe the first time it ran, 44 million people watched it.
Yeah.
And yeah, people were expecting this beautiful Technicolor movie. And all of a sudden, the first 15 minutes are black and white. And they're like, this is a color TV, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, thinking there was
something
wrong.
I went and bought a color television
for this.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure you were not alone when all of a sudden that door opens up and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's color.
Yeah.
So let's get into the movie. Let's do a little bit of the movie. So obviously we're introduced to black and white Kansas.
Yep.
Dorothy Gale on the farm, the family farm in Kansas, with the three ranch hands.
Yeah.
The only one I know, the scarecrow, was Hunk.
Yeah.
Which
they everybody's just a real small town Kansas.
Very much. Her aunt M is just seems like a terrible woman to live with.
The whole situation feels terrible. I don't know what happened to Dorothy's parents.
Hunk, Zeke, and Hickory.
Yeah.
Were the the ranch hands there. But yeah, Aunt Em just the stereotypical, for lack of a better term, old battle axe.
Yeah, right.
You know, she doesn't want to hear Dorothy's problems or her whatnots. It's like, I don't care. Stop dancing on the pig pen or whatever the hell she's doing.
Yeah, right. Well, and it's like, clearly this girl doesn't belong here.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't know what...
She's a dreamer.
Well, it's like, I don't know what happened to her parents. Also, Aunt Em is so old.
Right.
We were talking about this on the New Age Insider show when we were talking about Spider-Man.
Okay.
They are too old to be her parents' brother or sister.
Well, you never know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, I don't...
And even though back then, you know, it could be great aunt, they just call her aunt, you know, that sort of timeline or whatever. Or, you know, maybe their parents, you know, had a large gap in births.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. They're still too old. So it was just like, all right, you know, okay, we got to get this girl off of this farm. She wants to run away because she doesn't fit in. She sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Her and her mischief dog, Toto. Yeah.
And the big thing is that there's a girl, or not a girl, there's a lady who's who owns half the town.
Much like Gremlins. Literally, beat for beat.
Or It's a Wonderful Life,
the
guy from that.
Right.
And so, yeah, she's going to come because the dog bit her in the ankle or something.
Again, very much like Gremlins, somehow in these small towns, there's something that says the richest person in the world, if they don't like your dog, can just take it and kill it?
Yeah, so the idea
is... That's a thing.
So, at least in this one, it makes a little bit more sense,
mm-hmm.
because the woman, like, Miss Gulch comes in and says, I have papers from the sheriff... to say I can take your dog to the sheriff.
She has shown her potty papers.
She has shown her potty papers. but that one at least makes a little bit more sense than the lady who's just like, I'm very rich and you're going to give me your dog.
And your dog broke my glass snowman.
Or something.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Barney the dog.
Yeah, but we all know that it's not about Barney the dog.
No, it's not.
It's about the Chinese squirrel.
It is. The Vietnamese-speaking squirrel.
The Cantonese-speaking
Whatever.
Squirrel. Yeah,
fuck that.
Yeah, I know. Fuck that movie. but, yeah, so we have, she's going to take the dog, so we decide we're going to run away. Because,
as you do.
Because that's logically the most exciting thing. Yeah. She
She takes the dog.
Right.
And everybody loves baskets in this movie, first of all.
Yeah, they all love baskets.
Dorothy carries a basket through the entire movie. I have no idea what's in it.
Yeah.
No idea. At a certain point, it houses the oil can, which they end up losing anyway.
Yeah.
But before then, she's just carrying a basket.
Yeah, it's for the dog, kind of.
But the dog never is in it.
Yeah.
So Miss Gulch puts the dog in, takes off on her bicycle, and the dog just pops out.
Right. Yeah, just pops out.
There's no latches on these baskets. It's right. Just like, you know, whatever. The trust method, I guess? I don't fucking know.
Right.
I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
So then the dog just shows up back at the house. Northeast logical explanation is like, oh, she's going to come back.
Sure.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah, we got to peace the fuck out.
I have to leave.
Yep. I'm going to pack a suitcase.
Yeah.
And just go.
And just bounce.
Of course, this was one of the more realistic things. It was a stereotypical child running away.
Yeah.
Where you run down the street for a couple hours, but think you've been gone forever.
Yeah, right.
And nobody realizes until it's like, well, until a tornado hits, obviously. But she runs into Professor Marvel.
Yeah.
Not Captain Marvel. No. Not Miss Marvel. Professor Marvel.
Not Shazam.
Holy shit, there's another one.
yeah.
Played by Frank Morgan, who has like 47 roles in this movie.
Right.
Including the Wizard.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I don't understand is, was he supposed to be the same person?
No, he wasn't. They just loved him so much, they kept putting him in different roles.
Oh, okay.
Originally was supposed to be W.C. Fields.
Okay.
They offered him $75,000, he wanted $100,000.
Yeah.
They said no. Another possible candidate for this was Ed Gwynn.
Oh.
Of Mary Poppins and many Disney.
Oh, he would have been great.
He would have been wonderful. But again, I'm guessing the studio system being what it was.
Yeah, couldn't get him.
Couldn't get him. So they went with Frank Morgan, who was at the time a very well-known character actor. Also a very well-known drinker.
great.
Who had there was a story. Again, this is all on the Blu-ray, so I'm not like going out of school on this one. But basically when he was playing the gatekeeper at Oz, the one where the bell, knock, don't ring the bell. Basically, if he wasn't in a little box, he wouldn't have been able to, like, function.
Yeah.
He was not standing. He was just kind of leaning in that little box.
Yeah.
Because, that was the one time they said he didn't really have control of his drinking. He's, despite being an alcoholic, had pretty much control of it.
Yeah, he was like a
functioning alcoholic, yeah.
Yeah.
Which at the time was very common.
Yeah.
Especially in Hollywood. But that was the one time he really couldn't keep it together. But anyway. He's a con man. He's a trickster.
Yeah, right.
He's a charlatan.
Yeah, so he's teaching her. He's
kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. I don't know what his goal is because she doesn't have any money.
No.
So I don't know what he's, like, going to take something or, like, I don't know what the deal is.
But he never gave back the picture of Aunt Dem, so he's probably in the back of his cabin scrapping to that one.
Yeah, probably. But basically he kind of does the nice guy thing.
Kind of.
And basically he's like, hey, you got to go back. Your aunt misses you. Like,
look, little 4 to 10 year old girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go back home.
Go back home.
Your aunt clearly misses you.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. And then while that's going on, there's just a tornado that's approaching.
Yep.
And everybody just fucks off into that storm cellar.
They really, they don't waste any time. I guess I wouldn't either. But there is no effort to even find her. They're more concerned with the horses and the goats and all that stuff. And it's like, you have an actual person that's missing.
Yeah, yeah. A person is missing.
And Auntie M just makes two, very passing cries as she's headed to the storm cellar.
Right.
It's like, Dorothy! Oh, I'm going down.
Yeah, all right, close it up. And then
dive her down. And they never open it.
No.
They very well could, when she got back, they very well could have opened that storm cellar up.
Well, especially, you'd think that if you were... You think that if you were worried about this person,
right,
you would be close to that door.
You don't even need to be close. She was literally stomping on the door.
Yeah, right.
You're going to hear it and screaming down into the door.
Yeah, right.
Somebody's going to hear that shit because they closed it, three? She was at the gate
when
they were going down.
Right.
It's not that big of a run for her.
No.
Story would have been over.
Yeah, right.
They all would have survived. They all would have survived. They would have lived in the storm cellar. They would have had soup, yeah. And that would have been the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, and then
sepia-toned soup.
The storm would have been over, and they would have just went back to being in their lives.
Yeah, they would have gone back to, you know, pigs and, yeah, and horses, yeah, and shit, and the weird relationship between Dorothy and Hunk.
Yeah, which
is weird.
It is weird.
It is weird, and it she's is. Playing a 4 to 10 year old girl.
To be fair, we don't that Scarecrow might be younger than she is, though.
Maybe. It depends on how old the hay is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, you think about it.
He could have been built that day.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
He's been there for a while.
He's been there for a bit.
But, I mean, even a bit could be like 2 years.
Sure.
And then it's weird on her end.
Could be. Could be.
You know, we don't talk about that in this society.
We don't. It was a different time.
You know?
That's commonplace nowadays when we're looking back at movies that don't age well.
Yeah.
You know, it was a different time. It was a different era.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. I'm not going to judge these people.
No.
I didn't live on a farm in the 30s.
Yeah, or hang out with sentient scarecrows.
Nope, I didn't do that either. I didn't, you know, smack lions on the nose and then have them walk upright with me talking the whole time. I mean, I didn't drop acid in the 30s. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
But it is what it is. But yes, I'm still saying that Hunk's relationship with the team was very inappropriate.
It's very inappropriate.
Very inappropriate. And Aunt Em and Uncle Henry, they were supporting it. They were going with it. Like, you know what? We're not going to be around much longer. Hunk seems like a reliable guy, and let's keep this in the family here.
Yeah, right.
This is our 4-year-old or 9-year-old or whatever. However old she is.
She's however old you want her to be.
Once you pop the corset off, she's 16. There you go.
There you go. That's
play ball.
Yeah. So then we made
that weird.
Yeah, that got weird. So basically she goes and hides in the house.
Yes.
And
on the bed as opposed to under the bed.
Yeah, of course. And
didn't you see any of those wartime film reels? You're supposed to get under your desk.
Under your desk.
Duck and cover.
And so then she ends up getting hit in the back of the head.
The window just comes straight off. The construction on this house is bullshit.
Well, I don't know if you know this.
Yes.
But that window was, they purchased the wrong one, right? They wanted to get like a Harvey window.
Wasn't a Sherman Williams job.
Yeah, no. Instead, they got one from the Twilight Zone brand. And that's,
very good.
That some bitch just came flying out
very
the wall.
Very good. It was the Acme Breakaway Window Company.
Yeah, it was the Twilight Zone.
At any inclement weather, we are going to comedically fuck your head up.
Yeah, right. It's there. It's there for, for comedic effect.
Yeah, she gets knocked out cold.
Yeah, and when she comes to, she is inside the tornado.
In the tornado, yes. And the weirdest shit is happening. The weirdest one I thought was the chicken coop.
Yeah.
Because, the chicken coop is floating in the tornado.
Ha, ha, ha.
However, there was a chicken
that was just hanging out.
That was clearly standing on something.
Yeah,
but it wasn't in the coop.
Yeah,
and you're watching it with for the 47th time.
Yeah, you just don't notice.
You're nitpicking literally every little thing. It's like, what's that chicken doing?
Yeah, why are you just hanging out
what's
there?
What's that chicken doing for a half a second as it floats by?
The people on the boat.
Yeah, yeah. Was that was that the two farmhands? Was it Hunk, Zeke, or Hickory?
No, I don't.
They were just
so.
Two random dudes in
they're
a boat.
In a boat.
All right, very cool.
You know, and then
she seemed to know everybody because she was waving.
Yeah,
they're just sitting there rowing a boat.
She also has
a tornado.
She also
as
has
you do.
So much chill. For somebody that is, in theory, in the middle of a tornado.
Yeah. I think I would have probably passed out twice during that whole thing. Just like, whoa, I don't know. I'm going to die.
Yeah, this is it, man. This is it. Game over.
Game over, man.
Bill Paxton.
Yes.
Also chasing tornadoes.
This is true.
So
weird.
Yeah.
Good connection. Inception.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Where in a movie where their big thing is to get Dorothy inside a tornado.
Yeah. And then, of course, Miss Gulch shows up on her bike.
And morphs into the Wicked Witch.
Yes. Now, here's a trivia fact that I don't think is really commonplace. She does morph into the Wicked Witch of the East.
Correct.
Because if you look closely, her shoes are sparkling.
Yes.
So it's not the witch we meet later on in Oz.
No, it is.
It's the one that the house is dropped on. Obviously, they were twins.
Yeah.
They are referenced as sisters.
Yes.
Obviously, twin sisters.
Yeah. And then also, we dive into the whole backstory of those two witches in the musical Wicked.
Oh, yes. A Coven of Witches. We saw that in Four Rooms.
Yeah.
Different witches.
Yeah. Yes. East, west, north, and south. I want to see the Wicked Witch of the South.
Well, that's another funny little trivia fact.
The other south.
She was supposed to appear in the book. The North and the South are two different witches.
Right.
The North,
Glinda.
is not. Glinda's actually the Witch of the South in the book.
Oh, yes.
And the Witch of the North shows up at Munchkin Land, talks about blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, when because the Witch of the North tells Dorothy these shoes must be very powerful.
Right.
As if she's not 100% sure.
Right.
But they must be if the other witch wants them so much.
Yeah, right.
And then at the end...
Which really, in reality, the witch just wants her shoes from her sister.
Just wants her shoes back, man. I mean, they're her property.
Yeah, it's her sister who Bequeathed. Just died.
Yes. Have a heart.
Yeah.
Just dropped a house on her. At least give her the shoes.
Yeah.
But the Witch of the South, who was Glinda in the book, shows up at the end... And reveals to Dorothy, you've had the power to go home this whole time. Click your heels and say, I want to go home.
Yeah.
Well, because they just didn't want to add another fucking character
right.
in the movie. So they combined the two into the same witch. But there's often been that thing, like, why didn't she just tell her in the beginning?
Right.
Because in the writing of it was two different people.
Right.
So they just said, you know what? Kids aren't going to notice. Most
people don't.
Keep the pretty witch we already met and knew. Just along. Move along, sir. Nothing to see here.
Yep.
Just a coven of witches clicking heels.
Madonna's here.
So
that's really what we're telling is they wanted to cast Madonna.
They did.
But because it was the 30s, Madonna wasn't available.
Exactly. So we land in Oz, the Technicolor Oz, as we mentioned earlier, and we're in Munchkin Land. And she's just kind of wandering.
Yeah.
Looking for anything. Obviously, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yep.
Which I believe AFI rated it number 6 on the most quotable lines in film history. I think that hit number 6. It's definitely in the top 10. But yeah, so she's hearing little giggles, little rumbles, little what the fuck's going on here.
And then the entire town comes to life, basically.
Yes. Now, Glinda shows up first.
Right. And she's just like, hey, this is what's happening.
This is what's happening. You dropped your house. You killed the witch. There's her shoes and her legs. Convenient.
Yeah.
And you've now freed the people of this land. This is Munchkin Land.
Yeah.
And yes, they all start coming out, out of the bushes and out of the fields and out of everywhere.
They sing a dance song about it.
Out of the sewer. Now, here's what when I was watching it this morning, here's what I asked. Have they had all these horses and carriages and dance routines on standby the whole time waiting for somebody to kill this witch?
Yeah.
Because they literally go from, oh my God, a house just fell out of the sky, to let's have a parade with full-on banners. The coroner already has a death certificate made out. They have literally a horse and carriage to parade Dorothy around as if they were waiting this whole time. And how long? How long was the horse on standby? Did the horse eat?
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, horses get hungry. Did these people eat? Where did they all come from? One of them came out of a sewer, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, they all came out of weird... There were also those, weird munchkin children baby things that were, in that nest. They were, hanging out in a nest, and they were
they
all in eggs.
They prefer to be called little things?
Yeah, sorry, you're right. That's on me.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that was a scene. I'm glad you remember that. Because what was that? Is that how munchkins hatch? Is that how they're born? Or do they sleep in eggs? Also, if it is how they're born and they hatch from eggs, they hatch fully clothed, apparently?
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Or
do they just sleep in eggs?
Or are they just hanging out there?
What's the deal with the eggs?
What's the deal with the eggs, man?
So we have a whole parade. We have a whole presentation. And then the Wicked Witch of the West shows up.
Yeah, and she's like, I want my shoes.
She's like, yeah, where are my shoes? And so the shoes get magically transferred.
Yeah, because magic.
And Glinda, kind of being a dick about it,
is
like, oh, don't you want those shoes? And as the Witch of the West is going over to the dead feet.
Takes them.
They just disappear. It was like, wow, you could have done that long before and not been a dick about it. Not been like, I got your shoes. No.
Which is even weirder because if you watch Wicked, they're supposed to be friends.
Which one now?
The Glinda and the Wicked Witch of the East.
I'm sure they're like buddies. It's kind of like a work friend. It's like, they're their colleagues. She protects the North. Right. You got the West. We come to holiday mixers at the end of the year. Right. And, we all celebrate that nobody got a house dropped on. Oh, shit, your sister. Sorry, dog. Here's another drink.
Right.
Rest in peace.
And so, so she scares her away.
Right.
And so now it's like, hey, if you want to get home, you got to go.
With the threat of another house.
Yeah, somebody else is going to drop a house on you. And the witch is like,
and
oh,
she
shit.
Buys it?
Yeah.
I would be like, you know what? We're going to have a HR meeting at the end of this
yeah,
week
we're going to have a witch's AR meeting.
I'm going to call Steven, and he's going to have a meeting. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk about this. We're going to have to redivide this whole, you know, witch's union thing.
Yeah, right.
So she pisses off.
Right. And so it's like, oh, more dancing, and then we're off on the yellow brick road.
Okay, here's the question I had. There's a red brick road that goes the other direction.
Correct.
Where does that go?
That goes to a different city. That's the Ruby City.
Oh, is that okay? So was that a little bit explored in Return to Oz? Because
I believe
so. Now that you say it, it sounds very familiar.
I believe so. It might not be the Ruby City, but it's another city
made out of gems.
Made out of gems.
Okay, the Emerald. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
All right. So we're off.
Right. So we're off, and then
follow the Yellow Brick Road, which immediately becomes a 4-way intersection.
Yeah, which is so funny because
awesome.
If that road's supposed to lead to the Emerald City, why is there a 4-way intersection?
Where do the other three roads go?
Yeah, where is everybody going?
My guess is they just take longer ways to get there.
Yeah.
Eventually, you can follow any direction.
Yeah, I also think that maybe they all, like, every city has, like, Munchkin Land has that spiral.
Right.
To the center of town.
So she would have just gone off to another
area.
So it was almost like, you know, the four doors are lined
yeah,
up. You got to
right.
pick the right one. And if you pick the wrong one, it just brings you back to the beginning. You got to try again.
Yeah, maybe.
Awesome.
Maybe.
Oh, Oz is a bunch of dicks.
Yeah, it's a weird place. It's a silly.
So we meet. It's a silly place. We shall not go.
Yeah. So
we meet the scarecrow.
She gets the scarecrow down.
Yeah.
After shooing away some crows.
Crows.
And it ensues a dance number.
As you do.
As you do, and we find out that he only wants a brain.
Yep.
Because he wants to be a thinker.
Sure.
You know.
Whatever.
Yeah. And then they're off again.
Yep. There they go.
And then they go to the land of sentient trees.
Yes.
So the question I have is, why are the trees sentient but not the corn?
That's a good question.
You know?
Maybe the corn hasn't grown to become sentient yet?
Maybe. It just hasn't evolved yet.
Maybe. The witch was also in this scene.
She is.
She was hot, so maybe it has something to do with she's cast a spell on these trees?
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
So yeah.
Maybe. She, I don't know. I didn't
maybe
read the book.
Because, yeah, when we first enter the scene, she's like stalking
She's sulking
around.
in the corner and kind
yeah.
of disappears and
right.
isn't seen the rest of this scene. Wow.
And so they're hungry because I'm assuming they've been traveling for what seems to be days.
Sure.
You know, and so they end up going and
picking up an apple.
Trees get mad about it.
Yep.
Trees get super mad about it.
They don't like when you pull stuff off of them.
Yeah, which to be fair, I would as well.
Sure. I mean, the tree says it straight out. How would you like somebody to come by and pick something off of you?
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't like that at all. It's like basically getting your hair pulled. It's not fun.
Yeah, right. And so the scarecrow basically tricks the trees into throwing more apples. So that,
very temperamental. But if you look around, there was a bunch of apples on the ground, so why you got to pick that one?
Yeah, right. In the course of trying to find more apples,
she runs into the Tin Man.
The Tin Man, who's just been rusting there.
Rusted solid.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, sure.
But she...
It's explained very quickly.
We find...
Yeah. Oh no, Mr. Bill. We find Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yep. But yeah, so they end up finding the oil can, unrusting the Tin Man.
That was the quickest game of charades ever.
It was.
What is he saying?
oil can. Oh,
obviously. He must mean his mouth and his arm and his Jesus. Just get
all of his joints,
of course.
And so then another dance number ensues.
As you do,
and we find out that he's a lover, not a fighter, and he wants a heart.
He does. This is also another one of the very, I guess, not controversial, but it's spawned. A long-standing rumor, and it's almost like the three men and a baby dead kid thing. You know
okay,
that story?
Yeah.
This one is a munchkin hung himself.
That's the next scene.
But they're dancing off, right?
It's after the lion.
It's only the three of them.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Okay, so then it is this.
It's right before they meet the lion. So they're dancing off.
Yeah.
And forever, it's been talked about. People have analyzed footage and stuff like that. If you look in the background... And I've done it. It looks just like it.
Yeah.
It looks like a little person climbs on something and hangs themselves with the swinging body and everything. The story from the set is, in order to make the forest more lifelike, they had a bunch of exotic birds.
Yes.
And it was one of the big storks or pelicans or something right. like that in the background. So much so that in re-releases, they've actually digitally made that object pink.
Yeah.
To make it not look. But if you go and you go on YouTube right. and you find some original footage, it does look like a midget hung himself.
Yeah, it does.
Straight up.
It does.
Like, I saw it, the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh, that is creepy. And it was, the first time I saw it was in the internet's infant stage.
Yeah, right.
So there wasn't all this breakdown. There wasn't, you know, Snopes or, yeah. or Deadspin or anybody else saying, like, no, this is actually what it is. So I took it as gospel yeah, for right. many years.
For many
and it
years.
It kind of haunted me. Like,
yeah, it's scary.
I just watched a little guy kill himself in a movie. That, a beloved classic.
And they can't.
They kept it in the movie.
They can't edit it out.
But yes, thanks to Easy Digital, they made it pink now.
Yeah, so then they end up going into the forest and find the lion.
Yes, they do.
And the lion's a big, big...
He's a big phony.
He's a big phony.
He's a big fake phony.
He's a big fake phony.
He comes out with all his bravado.
Everybody's
scaring everybody.
The funniest part about the entire thing is when they're talking about it, and they're like, you talk to him. I thought you knew him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, I don't know.
I don't know this guy.
And it's like, we haven't met. How do you think that I know him?
He lives in the forest next to yours. You should know him, Axeman.
Axeman. So basically.
Clearly the lion doesn't like apples.
Yeah, doesn't like apples.
He doesn't go to the apple place.
He sings that he wants some courage because he's just a big puss.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so now we're off. The witch then comes back and decides that if I just get you high on opium.
Yep.
We're going to just, you know, this is going to be the end of it.
They can see. They have the Emerald City in their sights. Right.
But they got to cross a poppy field.
As you do.
And so basically everybody does heroin on the way to the...
But somehow, and I didn't know this because I've never done heroin, apparently snow cures heroin?
Yeah, apparently.
Because it starts snowing and they're like, oh, we're cool now.
Yeah.
Goddamn Tin Man rusts again.
Yeah, Tin Man rusts again.
Worst put together object ever.
Right. The part that I don't understand is like
littlest inclement weather, and this son of a bitch rusts.
Yeah. So the Tin Man. Yeah. Everybody's just casting spells. The witches are just messing with each other. They finally get to the Emerald City.
That's right, because Glinda was the one that made it snow.
Right. They finally get to the Emerald City. There's the horse of a different color.
Which was hilarious.
Which is very funny. They just have a horse that's just changing colors.
They used Jell-O dust. The Jell-O, you know, when you're making Jell-O, they used that to color the horses.
Okay.
The bitch of it was they had to shoot. So, the reason that the cuts are so quick are because the horses kept licking themselves to try to get clean.
Yeah, of course.
And because they're covered in sugar.
Yeah.
Horses love sugar.
They're into it.
Not cinnamon.
Yeah, they're into it. Finally, after a fun musical number about the Land of Oz, we meet the wizard for the first time.
They get all buffed up.
Yeah, they get all buffed up.
Cleaned up. Dorothy wants her eyes dyed.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure, why not? So then the wizard is basically
modern
like...
LASIK.
Yeah, the wizard's just basically like, no, I'm not going to help you unless you get the Wicked Witch of the West.
It took a while to get in.
Because
this was another one of Frank Morgan. He played three characters in this.
Right.
Four, actually.
He's the gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper, carriage driver, the wizard, and the big head wizard as well.
Yeah, right.
So they're trying to get in, and he's like, I'm taking nobody today. The wizard's off.
The wizard's off today.
The wizard went golfing already. He's had a half day.
Yeah, and then so
come back tomorrow.
Dorothy has to like give a sob story.
Yep.
Gatekeeper lets him in.
There's another song about the lion being king.
Yeah.
Which,
if I were the king of the forest, which is best song in the movie.
It is. And funnily enough, the Tin Man, first of all, he just picks up a vase of flowers and fucks it up with his axe to make a crown.
Yeah.
But that is the crown that the Scarecrow is wearing in Return to Oz.
Yeah.
The same broken glass piece of
pottery.
Crown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I this was one of the first times I guess it clicked with me. I'm like, oh, that's the same damn thing. So he just went back and picked up this piece of glass and that's what he used for his crown. Because when the wizard leaves at the end, he basically gives all power to the Scarecrow.
Right.
All right.
Because he's the smartest
man.
He's
a thinker.
He's the smartest man in the world.
Sure.
Or the Oz.
Sure.
So, it's basically like, look, here's the deal. I'll help you out, but you got to go murder this witch.
Straight up.
Straight up. You got to murk the witch.
They did change the line to go get her broom.
Yeah.
Because in the book it was, he commanded the four to go kill her.
Yeah.
Which is why the lion's line is a little out of place because he says, well, what if she kills us first?
Yeah.
You know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So they do. He yells. Lion jumps through the window because just continuing down that hallway would have been way too long of a thing. So
they end up going. On all of the audio releases, there's a song that was cut.
Jitterbug.
The Jitterbug. Yep. And it was supposed to have an animated feature to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be a great little number.
It was filmed. There's the scenes footage of it on the Blu-rays and DVDs and stuff.
But it just because back in those days they didn't save those type of things,
there was a lot
destroyed.
Well, there was a lot of cutting too because the original cut of the movie was 2 hours. They knew they had to get it down. So the Jitterbug was cut. There was a longer dance sequence when the Scarecrow is first met that was cut, and there was a second rendition of Over the Rainbow that was cut.
Okay.
All just straight up for time. They just kept throwing test audiences these longer cuts. One of them, I believe the 112-minute version has only been displayed once, and it was the one with the longer dance sequence, and that was like the last thing cut, and like, we still need more time. Now it's like an hour 47.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going back, and the witch casts the monkeys out.
Yep.
Go, my flying monkeys.
Because I want Dorothy, I want the shoes.
Yep.
So she goes,
bring me the shoes.
Yeah, so she bring me the shoes, going to get the shoes. Basically, everybody gets totally roughed up. The monkeys destroy everybody.
And literally carry Dorothy and the dog away.
Yep. And
why the dog is so important to the witch in this is beyond me.
And now this is the Star Wars portion of the movie.
Okay.
Where they infiltrate the Death Star.
Yes.
By dressing up as stormtroopers.
Do you know what the witch's guards' names were?
What?
Winkies.
No.
Oh, I shit you not.
That's great.
Winkies.
Winkies. So they dress up as Winkies.
Spoofed in Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah. By the Oreos.
Yeah.
Cute.
Cute. Very cute.
Yep.
Oreos.
There you go.
Oh. Nabisco.
Yep.
Oreo. Anyway, so basically they infiltrate the witch has the most insane hourglass, and she's like, look, here's the deal. You got to give me the shoes.
Yep.
You got to give me the shoes or I'm going to murder you by the time this hourglass.
Well, okay, so explain this to me, because she captures Dorothy, puts her in this locked room in the tower, and flips the hourglass over and says, you're going to die when the sand runs out. There was no explanation of how she was going to die.
I think she was going to murder her.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't make sense because when they do the stormtrooper infiltration thing, which, by the way, I heard the ride at Disney is going to be half an hour long. I'm so excited. Don't want to go off on a tangent, but yes. That's going to be awesome. But when the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Lion are there to rescue her and the Tin Man is axing the door down.
Yep.
Dorothy needs to get out of the room before the sand goes down, as if that room is just going to implode.
Yeah.
That's the way it's portrayed on film. Now, granted, the witch just could have come back, but I don't get it. And then she throws the hourglass at them anyway, and it blows up.
Yeah, I don't know.
So maybe it was going to explode, but why would it explode? It would have exploded anyway. I didn't understand that part of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, how was Dorothy going to get killed?
Yeah, I don't know.
Read the book, let me know.
I just always assumed that she was going to...
She was just
going to
come back?
Come back and murder her.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of Bond villainy type shit in there.
Yeah, right. Well, because she just wants the shoes. And she's like, look, here's the deal. Give me the shoes in an hour.
We're going to extend this, Mr. Bond.
Yeah. It's going to be an hour. If not, if not, they're going to... She's going to come back and murder her.
Right.
And so... I think that
she can't get the shoes off anyway.
Well, that's the point. I don't think the witch believes her that she can't get the shoes off.
Right.
And so that's why. It's like, get the shoes off or we're going to do this. So basically they escape. But in the process of escaping, they're cornered.
They're cornered.
And
the witch, like I said, threw the hourglass. The hourglass blows up.
They're going to... She sets the Scarecrow on fire.
She does.
And so that's...
They trap the guards because... They chop down the chandelier, which drops on about a third of the guards.
Yeah.
And then half of them go one way, half of them go another way. They all get rounded back up in the same place that they just were.
So the witch is going to burn the Scarecrow alive, which is evil as hell.
Yep. And her statement was, basically that Dorothy was going to have to watch her friends die.
Yeah.
She said the fourth will watch the first three die in front of her. And it's very morbid as shit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Evil.
Jesus.
Evil lady. And so then sets the scarecrow on fire. And just because there's just a bucket of water hanging out, just in case of fire, splashes the scarecrow to put out the fire and subsequently takes out the Wicked Witch.
The witch catches a little bit of shrapnel, which, watching it back again, I forgot how very little water it took to melt her.
Yeah, she...
Like, the bucket might have been, like, a quarter full.
Yeah.
Most of it went on the scarecrow to put out the fire.
Yeah, and then...
She, like I said, she literally caught shrapnel. It was, like, droplets.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't even fuck up an iPhone.
Yeah, like, you know? Like, it's like if you just took one of those, like, drugstore water guns.
Yeah.
And you just... You know?
So basically, the witch is made out of the same makeup that the demons in Bordello of Blood were made up of, because Dennis Miller went in with a squirt gun and basically did the same thing.
Right. There it is.
There you go. There's the connection. Tales from the Crypt. An actual Wizard of Oz story.
Wow.
We put it together.
We finally...
So she melts.
And everybody is just like, oh, thank God.
Margaret Hamilton must have hated... Was it Margaret Hamilton?
Yeah.
Margaret Hamilton. Must have hated trapdoors after this.
Oh, I know.
Like, she must have an elevator phobia after this, because that's all she does, is go up and down in these tiny little trapdoors full of smoke.
Yeah.
And one of them burned her in, like, three places.
Yeah.
Horribly.
Oh, brutal.
But
the guards are just like, oh, we're free now.
And
they're like, we're free now. Cool. Take the thing. We're good. We're going to go.
Here's your broom. And
we're going to do our own thing.
We're going to go down the street to the bar and have a mixer, I guess.
Right. We're going to have a party.
Monkeys, you coming? Cool. You're driving.
Yeah. You're having a... We're going to have a party.
Yeah. They had a monkey and henchman party.
Right.
While Dorothy and the crew go back to the Emerald City with the broom.
Right. And
to which the Great and Powerful Oz is like, eh, come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, just get on with it. We murdered someone for you. Here's the trophy, because we can't bring her head back. It's a children's movie.
And, right.
You know, I mean, that's basically the equivalent. It's like, you know, the mafia guy wanting a pinky or something like that.
Right.
It's like, bring me his eyeball. It's like, all right, well, broom will work in this case.
Right. I don't know why, like, we could have just stolen the broom.
Yeah.
But
you know, we all know what had to happen. We know what it was symbolizing.
Right.
They could have brought the hat back or whatever. You know, it's just, she's dead.
Right. She's dead.
She's dead.
And finally, they find out that Oz isn't that huge head because the dog is like...
Toto's like, what's happening over here?
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yep. Another one of the most classic lines ever.
Right. Basically, they corner him and are just like, no, screw you. We're gonna do what you told you we're going to do.
Give us the shit.
Yeah. And so finally he does.
It's a drug deal, basically.
Yeah. So finally he does, and it's going, and he's going to leave too. He's going to leave with Dorothy back to Kansas.
Again, he's a con man.
Yeah.
It's explored a little bit more in the James Franco one of how much of a con man he really is.
Right.
But he's swindled this whole land of Oz into thinking he's a wizard just because he came from the sky.
Yeah, right.
Because they've never seen balloons.
Right. Right.
As you do.
And so he gets whisked away in his balloon by accident, and Dorothy's stuck now in Oz, in theory.
Yeah, like, that was terrible, how they just kind of let it all happen, because the Tin Man and the Scarecrow were both holding ropes.
Right.
Theoretically holding the balloon down.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it just started to lift, and everyone let go, and he's like, I don't know how this thing works.
Right.
You are just going to float away.
Yeah, right.
Did you bring food? Like, there's practical problems with this whole balloon idea.
Oh, absolutely.
But again, Toto, being a little pain in the ass, is the reason Dorothy isn't floating away with some stranger in a balloon, hopefully heading towards Kansas.
Yeah.
Because, as the wizard proclaimed, he's an old Kansas man himself.
Yeah, of course.
Convenient.
It's very convenient. Well, that's why. It's like, so are you the same person?
Maybe.
Are you not? I don't know.
Again, this is all an acid dream.
Right, it is. It's all a trip. So then Glinda shows up conveniently and is just like, click your heels together and you'll be in your bed.
Yeah, you could have done this
hours
at the Munchkin
days
City.
Days ago.
You could have, literally, we didn't have to go through all this shit.
Yeah.
You could have just put the shoes on, clicked your heels, gone home.
Yeah. We get the very creepy line of, and I'll miss you most of all.
Scarecrow.
Scarecrow.
Yep. Again, that, there was that thing because Scarecrow is hunk, and we already talked about the hunk relationship.
Yeah.
See, there was a little thing happening.
A little thing. It's weird.
I'm dying for him.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. So she wakes up, and basically it was like, oh, you were there, and you.
And the wizard is just poking his head, or I guess at this point he's back to being Professor Marvel. He's just there hanging out the window.
Yeah.
Because Auntie Em is by the bed. The three Stooges are hanging out there as well.
Right.
Uncle Henry. And then in the window is this stranger that the rest of the family has never met.
Right. He had to have, I would assume that he showed up to be like, hey, I saw your adolescent girl and she was running away. I just want to make sure that she made it home.
You think it was that altruistic?
And I wanted to smooch her.
Well, I'm thinking, being who he is, the con man that he is, he saw the picture, as he never gave it back.
Right.
Saw the farm. Tornado hit. These guys are definitely in the storm cellar. I'm going to loot.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to raid this house.
Yeah.
And take some chickens.
Yeah, okay.
That was my thought.
Okay, that works too.
And he just popped in and like, oh, everyone's alive, everybody's cool. Oh, by the way, I'm just here to make sure your little girl is okay.
Yeah, right. Yep.
You okay, little girl?
Are you okay?
Your 4 to 10-year-old daughter or niece or great
whatever
cousin is okay.
Your granddaughter.
She's got hunk. Okay, cool. We're good. Yeah. And that's
the Wizard of Oz.
That's the Wizard of Oz. In a nutshell.
Yeah, we don't find out if Miss Gulch just comes back.
For the dog. I mean, she has papers.
She
has the poppy papers.
Hopefully she got sucked up in the tornado and just died, and we didn't talk about it.
I would assume that's what she was seeing in her dreamy haze. You know, even though she turned into the witch, I'm guessing it was partially, you know, actually happening. Like, Dorothy was coming in and out of consciousness in the middle of the tornado, and she's like, yeah, well, she's dead.
Yeah.
My guess is Miss Gulch is dead.
Yeah. Good.
Or she also traveled to Oz and became Mombi in The Return to Oz.
Okay.
Maybe that's that connection.
Maybe.
Mombi, the evil woman with many heads.
Oh, yeah. What a creepy movie.
Return to Oz is an underrated, scary film if you're a child.
Oh, yeah. The roller skating people.
Horrible.
Yeah, with the two
horrible
faces. Oh, God.
Just an underrated sequel as well. Actually, in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
It's the longest gap between original and sequel, 46 years.
Okay.
There you go. I don't know if it's been beaten yet, but when I looked that up, it was still there.
I feel like we got there with Prometheus, right? Well, no, because
46 years?
No, because the Alien 3.
The Alien was 70-something, and there were sequels throughout it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, 1 to 2, 46 years. Yeah, so that'll do for Wizard
that'll
of Oz,
do.
I think.
That's it.
Number top three movie all time in AFI's list. Number one in your heart.
Yeah, one of my top movies.
Just an all-around classic movie. I don't have to oversell it. It's The Wizard of Oz.
Right. Go check out the Fathom Events.
Fathomevents.com. They're going to be putting it in theaters on the 27th, 28th, and 29th, I believe. But double check. And it's nationwide. Yeah. So wherever you're listening or watching this, it's a theater near you.
I was just going to say, if you're listening to this, we're dropping this on the 21st, right?
Sure.
So basically it'll already be out. I will have started the Marvel movie re-review.
That's right.
So go over to newageinsiders.com. Iron Man
20 movies?
Yeah. Iron Man will already be up. And
you're building to Captain Marvel
Captain
or Endgame?
Marvel. Captain Marvel. So March 7th is when that movie comes out, and that'll be the first Thursday in March.
Have you looked, by the way? Disney is gonna own the calendar.
Oh, it's nuts.
See, because brief pause before we wrap up this episode. I've had this argument many times with people online, and I still hold strong. And I know we said it, I believe. We didn't cover Solo on this show. But I believe the lack of success, even though it made over hundreds of millions of dollars, the lack of success of Solo was directly result of a few things. One, Disney broke its Star Wars at Christmas release date.
Yeah.
It was 6 months after Last Jedi. Had it been put at Christmas, as it normally was, would have been fine. Two, 4 weeks earlier, Infinity War came out and was still crushing it at the box office.
Yeah.
A week before, Deadpool 2 came out.
Yep.
Lot to ask of that general demographic.
Right.
So that's $75 in a month on an average movie ticket.
And something to think about, too, is we're also talking when Solo came out, Black Panther came out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Exactly.
So that movie had so much buzz when it was released.
Correct.
That Solo coming out, yeah, if it was still in Christmas at its Star Wars, like
Star Wars time, at Christmas, it is what it is.
Everything but the Star Wars Christmas special.
Right.
But
right.
If they...
Well, that was Life Day.
That was Life Day. You're right. I'm sorry.
Holidays.
Yeah. But if you kept it at Christmas, it would have been so much
better. It would have been
fine.
Even a 4th of July release would have been better.
Right.
But it was so weird that they put everything like right there. And I know Deadpool is Fox, not Disney, but it's like Last Jedi, Infinity War, Solo, all in that thing with the Black Panther DVD coming out.
I also feel like they just had I feel like they had a lot of like hangover from
very much so
from Infinity War, where it's like,
well, it was still running,
right? One, it was still running, but two, it's like everybody just was so impacted by that movie.
The box office,
that movie was so impactful that I think everybody was just like, no man, like I just want to know what's next.
Right.
In like I'm in such a Marvel mode,
right,
that shifting to Star Wars was a big ask, because even Ant-Man, like Ant-Man comes out that same time.
Because that was a summer release.
That
I think.
Was a summer release as well. And so it comes out and people are just like, man, like this movie was good, but it's also...
But most didn't see it because they were done at that point.
Well, they were done. And it's like, this doesn't continue the Thanos story.
Right.
So I'm going to skip it.
Right.
You know?
But I guess to my point, I was looking this year, they have it very well placed. Disney has done a very good job of pacing their calendar out with Captain Marvel, Endgame in the spring. They have Lion King and Toy Story, I believe, in the summer.
As well as Spider-Man.
Okay, no, so it's Spider-Man and I think Lion... Okay, that's what it is. Okay, because it was two in each
month.
Basically, in each season.
Yeah.
So the spring got the two
Marvel movies,
the Avenger movies, Captain Marvel and Endgame. Summer was Spider-Man and I want to say Toy Story.
Right.
And then in the winter, it was Star Wars and Lion King.
Yeah.
And it's like, those are two giant movies every few months.
Yeah.
Good for Disney on that one.
Oh, they're crushing it.
They are
a movie industry.
And Star Wars Land opens up this year.
Yeah. Also, just do us a favor because we really, really want to go to the press stuff.
Okay.
So everybody tweet at Walt Disney Parks.
Sure.
And be like, hey, let us in.
Let us in. That'd be wonderful. Getting a press tour of Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it because I hear the line's going to be like 15 hours long.
Here's the thing. It won't be worth going to for the first 4 years.
Right.
Just because.
Even that half-hour ride, you're going to have to wait 2 days to get into it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is Wizard of Oz movie show. Coming up next week, it's coming up on the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, the big game.
The big game.
We don't want to get sued. We had a poll.
We don't want to get sued per bowl.
Sure. If they're one of the 15 people watching this, sure.
Yeah, right.
Eat a dick. So we did a poll. It was actually the closest social media poll we've ever had. On Instagram, it was tied. On Facebook, it was tied. And then you made the tiebreaker on Twitter.
Yeah.
So it was between The Program and The Replacements.
Yes.
And The Program won on Facebook. The Replacements won on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then The Replacements took it on Twitter. So coming up next week in preparation for the Super Bowl.
The big game.
The big game. We're going to do the story of...
Shane
Falco, maybe Johnny Utah.
Yeah.
In hiding.
Here is a
he let Bodie go, and now he had to go in hiding.
Here is the preview.
The tease.
Okay. After Keanu Reeves is one of my favorite actors. And
If you didn't know.
And Keanu Reeves, I have come up with the theory that all of his movies are all stemmed from an Ohio State quarterback. All of his backstories are Ohio State.
Everyone. So we're going to get the whole story.
We'll get all of them.
All right. So there's your tease for next week.
Yeah.
The Replacements and the Keanu Reeves Ohio State backstory.
Yes.
Coming up on that movie show. Thanks for joining us. And by all means, follow us on all forms of social media at Mike Wendt, at Liam NAI, hashtag that movie show. NewAgeInsiders.com has our audio and video archives. And if you're listening this on a podcast, tell your friends it's on literally every single podcast app. Hit subscribe to New Age Insiders Pop. All right.
Cool. Let's talk.
See you that.
Bye.
You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.